Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who we talk to every week at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we get going on big stuff, downtown Palafox, any update? Are we on track, behind schedule, ahead of schedule? When I talked to Bruce Woody from ECUA, he indicated that the work they were doing to put in new water mains or new water pipes was actually going a little bit faster than expected. Any update?
No, other than no, May 24th, still the deadline, but we're on time. Everything is, knock on wood, going, as planned and as urgently as possible. And I'm glad, everybody in the community has gotten to see, not just hear it from the mayor or hear it from staff. When you go down there, you can see how diligent they are about getting this thing done. And so people are able to see that with their own eyes.
Excellent. And by the way, I love the little piece about how you've made them make spaces in the curtaining so that you can see through and watch the work. I love that. Like, you know, kids watching or adults watching or whatever. That's a very cool thing. All right. Well, the big news, obviously. Yeah, I'll forget to mention if I don't. Tomorrow night, State of the City address. You're going to be giving the annual address at Bayview. Is 6 o'clock? What time?
Yep. Six o'clock at Bayview. It's free. They are asking people to register. That's only just really for headcount, make sure there's enough chairs out. So I know people are like, it's a public event, and simply put, you're more than welcome to show up without, but it certainly helps the volunteers that are putting it on if they can just know that you're coming. So if you go to CivicCon, you can just register. Doesn't cost anything, takes 10 seconds. But if you can't get to that, still feel free to come on.
Obviously, the big news of the day is that last night you announced your decision to go with the police chief from Grand Rapids, Chief Winstrom. I know that it's being discussed primarily as over Chief Goss, who is the acting deputy chief right now. There was a third candidate in this mix as well, but, you know, since it was kind of this one or that one, it kind of gets lost. But you wrote a letter to PPA, and I kind of, at the 5 o'clock hour, if people want to go back and listen to it, I give you my analysis of this, and I was not surprised. I thought you might go this direction, and I also assumed that it was a very difficult decision for you to make because you know what the union has said, and you know what the locals are often saying, and you know Chief Goss, and nobody wants to tell a person, hey, we're going to go with somebody else when, you know, you've worked with them for a long time. But you made this decision. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, really, there's so many complexities. You just outlined a lot of those complexities that make – a decision, specifically the decision of a chief of police for any mayor, is arguably one of the most important that you make. Really, what this is rooted in is fairly simple when you take away all of those complexities, which is I wanted to put the person that is best fit for the job today in this job. And, you know, what I've really harped on with family when we talked about this, obviously people see and understand the gravity of this decision, is that we should always, if you on my election day yesterday, last year, last month, the goal should always be whatever the decision is made that increases what I believe to be our public safety outcome here in the city. So this isn't a internal versus an external candidate. We're going to be able to bring in someone, and certainly this was not necessarily the case with the previous external chief. We're bringing someone with chief experience that can come in and hit the ground running in that respect, and also who has done that before. He came from Chief Winstrom from Chicago to Grand Rapids as an external candidate, so he's been through that process. Because listen, a lot of the challenges of an external candidate are no different in any city. Meaning you got to get to know the folks in the building and earn their trust and all of those things. And certainly I know that Winstrom knows how to do that. And so it really comes down to that. And certainly Eric Goss is an absolute cornerstone of our department, as I wrote to the officers. He'll be a chief here one day. But I think this gives us an opportunity between the departure of Chief Randall and the unexpected retirement of Deputy Chief Chrisman. where we kind of had a lack of temporarily, kind of a lack of depth of organizational leadership. This gives us an opportunity to restack the deck. And as I told our officers, I hope the next 20 police chiefs are all internal candidates. I totally understand the value of that. But that doesn't change the dynamics of what we're in today. And what we're in today is we didn't have that type of depth that I'd like to see. And to be honest, Andrew, I feel like some of the shortcomings that we had in the previous regime was not where that person was from. I think it was the lack of organizational leadership that came in. So that's what I was looking to correct, is to bring us the most chief leadership we could possibly have. And I certainly think Chief Winsome fits that bill.
Yeah, and I also think, and we'll talk about this in a second, but I think that, you know, one of the things that made the decision harder for you, I'm sure, is that, you know, you had to deal with the perception that, well, you know, we tried an outsider already and it didn't work very well. And so how dare you try an outsider again? And, you know, is that because it's their outsider, or is that because of the nature of the candidates and the alternatives? And, you know, Chrisman versus Randall is not Goss versus Winstrom. And, you know, it's important to keep those distinctions. DC, I think, you know, I see a lot of things online. I see a lot of the concerns people are raising, and I understand the concerns, things like, this is discouraging to officers growing up in the ranks, which you addressed that in your letter, saying that you hope that the rest, you know, get there. The feeling like it was somehow a snub against Chief Goss, who, of course, I think the real issue there is that he just doesn't have the kind of experience running an agency that obviously Winstrom has. But one of the interesting notes that I have seen, even though Winstrom obviously comes from having run organizations within Chicago PD that were 2 and 3 and 4 times as big as PPD, and then at Grand Rapids, it's like double PPD. I think the one thing I see that's interesting to me is people are saying, well, how do we know that a guy from the North, how do we know that a Yankee, you know, a guy from Michigan and Chicago, gosh, I was born in Detroit and lived in Chicago for a long time, how do we know that somebody like that will pick up the culture of our community, let alone be a leader in the police force? How do you answer that objection or that concern?
Listen, that's the least of my concern after several conversations. When you have somebody that's this level of a professional that understands how to interact with the community and how to and that trust is earned in this community, not that it's given because you're wearing the police chief uniform. I have, so individually, the Chief Winstrom, I have absolutely zero concern about any of this culture. You know, like you said, kind of stereotype that if you've lived in one place, you somehow won't, you know, translate to another place. That would be pretty stubborn and egotistical on the side of any external chief to say, you know, we're going to now run this operation like a place of which I don't live. I don't think that, you know, it is about adapting. I'm sure Grand Rapids was way different than Chicago. I'm sure that was the case. And Pensacola is going to be different than Grand Rapids. So, you know, the onus is on myself, or the obligation is on myself, to make sure that if we're going to hire an external candidate, somebody that can translate here. So to give any notion that that isn't something considered, or we didn't think of that. And listen, I don't think the military, when you move people around for mission, they ask, did you come from a culture that's like the next base that you go to? Or I don't think the NFL asks where their head coach was born to ensure that they meet the culture in New England or Los Angeles or Dallas. I think at the end of the day, we've got to get the best leadership in here, and the best leadership works that out without an issue. So I have no concern over that, both individually with Chief Winstrom in my several conversations with him, and secondly, with our awesome police department. I fully expect, I don't, to act as if like our police department is not going to act professionally, or that this is going to be a concern. Listen, I'm sure some folks or disappointed in the building, and I addressed that in the letter. I certainly understand that, but we've got pros at this department. I'm so proud of this department all the time, not just in a police chief search, but you know, I get to see the amazing work and hear about the amazing work they do every day. So I don't, maybe there's some temporary disappointment. I fully expect the professionalism level at our department, that is also a non-issue to help blend in with this kind of culture issue stereotype.
You know, one of the things I think there's always the safety of the known, right? He's, you know, we know Chief Goss, we know what he's capable of. He's well liked. He's, you know, got all the relationships and all that kind of stuff. And you know, obviously there's a little bit of an unknown when you're talking about somebody coming in from the outside. But you know, when I was trying to think about how you're thinking about this and what it is you're trying to accomplish, it seems to me like the appeal of a Chief Winstrom is that he has such vast experience in so many different environments, whether it's working the projects or working child crimes or having a lawyer in his background and working on writing the consent decree for the city of Chicago. Like, those are, I mean, that's a tremendously wide variety of skill sets, including the leadership. It seems to me like you were probably thinking, how can I turn down the opportunity to bring somebody with these kinds of qualifications and skills in to make a really, really good police force even better in ways we don't even yet know we can be better? Is that the way you were thinking about this?
Yeah, and not to, you know, keep going with a sports analogy, it'll be my last one, but I mean, yeah, if we're building a roster of talent at our city, at our department, in any department, the idea is to add as much talent as we possibly can to the department to make it successful. And again, that's not really oversimplifying it, I think. And listen, there was lots of variables in a process like this, not just the interviews and the interview panels and the discussions around that, or, you know, with community members, all of those things. You don't know what candidates are going to come in, what their skill sets are going to be. That's with any job, that especially a high profile one like this. So, you know, coming into this, we don't know anything. We don't know what we don't know about what was going to happen. But as we went through the process, certainly being able to add someone with that experience level and that caliber of expertise. And again, I want to reiterate, someone who has already transitioned from a community of which he is unknown as a chief.
Yeah.
And was able to show marked improvement in terms of the amount of officers that they were down at Grand Rapids before, you know, or after he left, or you know, with the position they're in today, versus when you got there. So I mean, he's been able to prove that that type of success. And so, you know, I really want to understate that was a big decision point with Chief Winstrom, was not just being an external candidate with lots of experience, but an external candidate with lots of experience who's also been through this process, which is complex, as yeah. we know.
And I will say this, you know, to your face or to your ear, I suppose. You know, I think this was a pretty courageous decision. It would have been much easier to pick Chief Goss. I think that, you know, you must have been really, really sure that this was the better choice. It would have been, you know, it's politically risky. It's going to make people angry. It's the easiest thing in the world for you to have done would have been to say, you know, okay, good, I'm fine. You know, let's just go with the safe candidate. And so I respect that you made a choice that you think is the best for the city, even if it costs you or even if people, you know, yell at you. And also, just as a side note, we do have a new police chief in Milton who's from Vermont, Chief Frank, and she has been doing fantastic. So, you know, the possibility of somebody coming in from the outside and working in a completely new environment, even in the South, you know, it can work. And so we're hopeful for that. And, of course, he's going to be at the press conference today at 10. We'll have him on the air. I'm going to do an interview with him that we'll have on the air for tomorrow. But I'm looking forward to getting to know him. And, you know, I really do think that kind of like, you know, now the decision's been made and let's make the decision right. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. Quick questions for you. Does your family do jigsaw puzzles?
Yes. But they usually will get halfway done and then they sit on the dining room table for like a week. And
okay.
We might finish it out depending on how much time we
do
have.
You
so
ever
it's kind
quit?
Of like an ADD version.
Do you ever quit a jigsaw puzzle because it's too hard?
Yeah, but I don't let the family know. Like, I just like kind of quietly leave the room, you know, and let them see what kind of progress they made. And I come back and check and see if I want to get back into it, you know.
What's the coolest thing you can ever remember making with Legos?
Oh, man. My daughter's big into Legos now, so it's been a refresher for me. Yeah, we had some of the sets where it was like the entire city, not like the ones you see at like the museum, obviously, like the little one. And I remember what a big deal it was that you could even have like cars and stuff that moved on track.
Yeah.
With Legos. That was kind of, yeah. That was
wait, so the mayor of Pensacola was building Lego sets of cities as a kid. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I'm going to add that to my re-election bio. That's,
Lego master builder. And last one, and this is right. The most important one. What kind of cheese goes on a regular old ground beef taco?
Just a beef taco. I mean, I guess you got to go Mexican three cheese. You said ground beef taco, not burger, right?
Right. Ground beef taco. So
yeah, no,
Mexican
I mean,
three
what
cheese.
Is there? Yeah, would you put on there.
Oh, I like cheddar. Cheddar's a safe answer, but I like Monterey Jack too. But, you know, you judge people by their food choices, I think, fairly or unfairly. So I just wanted to make sure you're within the range.
I let the grocery store decide for me. Whatever one says Mexican cheese on it, it's whatever those three cheeses are.
They must know best because it's right there on the label. Okay, I got you. D.C. Mr. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you for the time. State of the City is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Bayview. Please register online, and then city council meeting we'll have next week as well. We'll look forward to talking to you then. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, there was Andrew interviewing Mayor D.C. Reeves about the new hire, the police chief hire. And I'll have some more thoughts on that a little bit later today as well. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on Pensacola Morning News. We're going to get a quick break, come back here, and get an update from David Wayne over in the newsroom. Stick around right here on News Radio 93.3. Informative, local,
welcome
dependable.
Back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19, but if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There's no championship league for small business owners. But if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local, dependable.
Dependable.
Hey, lady!
Funky.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Let's go over to David Wayne in the newsroom, get an update from him over in the newsroom real quick. David, what's going on?
Data shows a drop in diversity at the nation's most selective colleges. Court's decision to end affirmative action. A new analysis finds black student admissions are now down 27%. Good morning.
Morning. What were you talking about affirmative action? I want to hear that.
Oh, well, absolutely. Sorry about that. I was getting some stuff recorded for the other station here. But new enrollment data, Bobby, is showing that there's a sharp drop in diversity at the nation's most selective colleges after the Supreme Court's decision to end affirmative action. There's new analysis finds black student admissions are down 27% and Latino enrollment is down 10%.
Wow. All right. I mean, that's kind of not a surprise. The whole point of affirmative action was to try to force, for the lack of a better word right now, because it's 5:30 in the morning and I can't think of other words, but kind of force minorities to be accepted into schools despite grades. So that's not a it's not a massive surprise right there to see that a study has shown that. It's going to... It's going to start bringing up issues of injustice when it comes to education levels in different pockets of America, particularly like inner city areas and stuff like that. So, the reality of it is I've always felt like affirmative action laws and rules and restrictions and stuff like this can be restrictive, but I think there's other things that can be done to try to help with that. We can talk about that a little bit. Bobby Rossi, filling up for Andrew McKay right here on News Radio 93.3.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Federal agents and canine units seen on the property of Nancy Guthrie. Officials believe the mother of today co-host Savannah Guthrie was abducted in her sleep from her home in Tucson, Arizona.
We too have heard the reports about a ransom letter in the media. As a family, we are doing everything that we can. We are ready to talk.
That from Savannah Guthrie's Instagram. Her sister Annie said,
"Mama, if you're listening, we need you to come home. We miss you."
President Trump said he offered Savannah Guthrie help to find her mother. Fox confirms the U.S. and Iran will meet face-to-face tomorrow in Amman. At least nine Arab leaders lobbying the Trump administration to stay engaged. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got, a chilly start to our morning, partly cloudy skies, 36 degrees, and we've got our full forecast. Brooke Richardson will have that in just a few moments. The Federal Aviation Administration has imposed temporary flight restrictions on drone usage near federal activity, and this is nationwide. Those restrictions limit drone use near mobile assets under agencies like the Department of Defense and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Commercial drone pilot Charles Wallace says those vague restrictions are difficult to follow because ICE agents are often on the move without any specified locations.
Can you hold me as a citizen, as a business operator, accountable for something that I have no idea where you are and what you're doing?
And the National Press Photographers Association says the restriction violates the First Amendment and it's just too vague to enforce. The FAA does say violating those restrictions can result in criminal charges. The NPPA is in communication with the FAA in hopes that they'll withdraw that restriction. One person was hurt after their vehicle hit a tree in Escambia County yesterday. That happened on West Jackson and North Fairfield about 7:30 last night. The person was taken to the hospital as a trauma alert. Pensacola is not the only city with a new police chief. In Orange Beach, they've unanimously appointed David Johnson as their new police chief this week. Johnson has been with the Orange Beach Police Department since 2006 and had been serving as their interim chief for the last several months. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the future of the Grand Hotel in downtown Pensacola could be tied to the upcoming discussions about the Pensacola Bay Center improvements. Yesterday, the mayor told reporters that the timing could work better to have one larger conversation about both the Bay Center and the long vacant hotel across the street at the same time.
Certainly, I'd love to have somebody in the building, but if it turns out the timing could actually be better to have maybe a larger conversation about the Bay Center itself and the building across the street, as I've discussed this with the city and the county and other partners.
The city's finishing up their feasibility study on the Bay Center. That's due by the end of this month. Escambia County has received its $189 million renovation proposal, and Mayor Reeves says he remains willing to support preservation of the historic train station underneath the Grand Hotel, but says the city is not ready to be the principal financial backer for that. Well, a Milton native will be part of the flyover during the national anthem at the Super Bowl this weekend. The U.S. Navy says Lieutenant Caleb Champion, a Milton High School grad, will be flying as part of a unified Navy and Air Force formation over Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. That flyover will feature eight aircraft, including F-A-18 Super Hornets, F-35s, F-15 Eagles, and B-1B Bombers. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is hosting its next Dream Big program for kids 5 to 11 years old. That's going to happen February 21st. Now, kids would experience at this program what it's like to be a junior deputy with specialized training at the Sheriff's Office on West Leonard Street. The kids will receive a Sheriff's Office uniform, a junior deputy badge, toy Tahoe, and an ID card. They'll also get to sit in a real deputy's car and meet deputies and canine officers. Parent or guardian does have to accompany their child. The program's a partnership with the Sheriff's Foundation and Step One Automotive Group. 5:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are starting off with a chilly start to your day with very breezy conditions. Winds will stay high as you go through your afternoon. 51 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping again back near 35 degrees. For Friday, starting to warm up, sunshine with a high near 61. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 44 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
36 degrees right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Almost exactly 6 months after two workers were killed and 11 injured in a series of explosions at a U.S. Steel's Clairton Coke Works factory, the nation's largest Coke manufacturing facility will resume operations at one of its batteries today. A Coke battery is a large industrial structure housing multiple slot-shaped ovens. Reuters reports Japan's Nippon Steel is considering selling as much as $3.2 billion of convertible bonds in a transaction that would be the largest of its kind in Japan. The company's shares closed down 2% following the report. And more from the steelmaker. Nippon Steel has widened its net loss forecast for the financial year ending in March to just over $446 million, due in part to a fire at a blast furnace after it swung to a loss in the 9 months to December. The company's full-year performance will also be dragged down by steel exports from China, sluggish domestic demand, and more. Futures are currently mixed. On Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 146. That's your money now.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume, you need better questions. Better questions. Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk. Lets them talk. Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headlines. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
So a few years ago, my wife and I were looking to test drive a Honda Odyssey. We thought that was the car we wanted to buy. We weren't sure, and we always try to get a sense of what we're going to buy before we buy it. That way, we're not pressured at the time to figure out which one to buy and also actually finding the one. So we went test driving, and we couldn't find one. It was just not available. The model had changed with a new generation. The pre-owned certifieds were either purchased before you could actually drive them or they weren't able to be driven. And it was just an incredible problem for us. So we were searching to find a test drive. We found it at Frontier Motors. We weren't ready to buy a car. It was going to be 6 months. No big deal. But they had one, so we drove it. It was the color we liked. It was the trim level we wanted. And it was a great car with about 12 or 13,000 miles and a year old. We loved it. And we test drove it and we're getting ready to leave. And they're like, well, do you want to look at a price? And I said, well, not wanting to be rude. Okay. And they showed me the price, and I thought, well, that's good. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. And I said, can you give us a day to think about it? And they said, yes. And I said, can you come down a little bit more the next day? And they said, yes. And I said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. And that was it. It was that easy to buy a great value, excellent car, exactly the thing we've been looking for. And we were really only looking to test drive it, but because they were so easy to work with, we went ahead and bought it. You can have that same kind of experience. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Good Good morning, Pensacola. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you would like to weigh in on any of the topics that we're discussing, just text it in, 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. I want to go over the some updates of the legislative session. And then coming up a little bit later, I've got a couple of national stories I want to discuss, probably right around 5:55, we'll bring up a little bit about Trump's, call to nationalize elections. This is kind of a confusing thing to me at first, but then I was looking into a little bit more and found some interesting thought processes about it. So we'll talk about that coming up about 5:55 right here on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. All right, so let me get into your legislative update here. So one of the big ones I want to bring up is, since immigration is seemingly being a big news item right now because of what's going on in Minnesota and with ICE and things like that. Well, we actually have a news story here in Florida pertaining to immigration, and that is our legislative session has a bill that's moving through the different committees that would require driver's license exams to be English only. So in other words, there would not be a Spanish version of driver's license exams from the Florida, the Department of Highway and Safety and Motor Control, whatever. It's like the big long thing. So whenever you try to go get you go to the DMV to go get your driver's license, you can request a Spanish version of the driver's license, at least the written test. And so there's a bill now that is moving through the committee. It's passing through committees right now that removes that option to take it to take it in Spanish. This change will apply to all driver's license classifications, including any oral portions of the exam. So most non-commercial license exams were offered in multiple languages. Commercials, learner's permits, and commercials driver's license were available in English and Spanish. Now it'll be available in English only. I saw this, and initially I was like, yeah, I get it. I get it. This is the idea that has been going on for decades, actually, with both Democrats and Republicans in power. You've had this argument of, well, we need to make sure English is the national language. Everything needs to be just done in English. So if you can't, if you can't take a driver's license test in English, but you shouldn't be driving or something like that. But then I see a lot of the pushback from people going, well, there's a lot of people who they live in the country, they're legally here, but they're not fluent enough in English to speak it, to continue to, operate that way. So if we want them to operate a vehicle and we want to make sure they know the laws, the rules of the road, we need to make sure we're giving them a driver's license test in a language that they can understand. Okay, I get that. But the DeSantis administration's argument back is, you need to be able to read the road signs, and the road signs are in English. Well, the road signs are decorative, right? I can recognize a stop sign without reading the word stop on it. I can yield without seeing the word yield and being able to understand the word yield on it. So you need to understand the signs for sure. Do you need to read them? I don't know about that. I think that's a lame argument, to be honest. But what I would say is, you ever drive down the road, and this usually happens like an interstate, there might be an accident or something like that happens, or road work that is happening up ahead, and then there'll be a digital sign off to the side of the road, and that digital sign will explain, traffic accident up ahead, exit now, or something like that, right? That's always going to be in English. And there's not going to be a Spanish version of that. So I could see that part saying, you know, that you need to be able to read those kinds of things. But I think it's going to be this is one of those things where back when they were trying to decide whether to make Spanish language driver's license tests and everything, that's when this needed to be addressed. Now that you've actually got them out there already, I think there needs to, it's like, it's kind of hard to put that back in the box. So just saying. So, all right. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. I've spent way too much time on that. Other legislative updates that are going on. There is a bill backed by the governor as well that's passing through the legislative session right now that would get rid of local DEI measures. So diversity, equity, and inclusion things. You know, we saw this happen on nationwide, and you see this happening in usually more Democrat-leaning cities where they have requirements for diversity, equity, inclusion. We just talked about affirmative action just a minute ago on the university level. This is kind of the same thing, like that you must hire this many people. You must be able to do this. In local government, there's a bill now that would get rid of any requirement a local government has for DEI. This is something where there's been a controversy with the administration, with the DeSantis administration, pretty much since he got in. That controversy is that the governor has continually, this administration has continually, and I'm using their words, usurped local authority. That's the concern that they've had with this administration pretty much since day one. This administration says, no, we're not usurping local authority. We are trying to uphold individual rights over local authority rights. And I see that argument. And in most cases, I've always stood by the governor, by the administration's position on this, because I'm like, no, this is actually protecting locals' rights. This is protecting individuals' rights. I see that in most cases. This is one that if a local government decides that they want to have DEI rules, even if I don't agree with it, does it affect me as an individual? I don't think so. And because it doesn't affect me as an individual, I don't really think they have as big of a standing on this part to, you know, stick with it, I guess you'd say. Because to me, yeah, if you've got something where diversity, equity, inclusion is going to affect me as an individual, then okay, yeah. But I don't see this one. Another bill that's going through the legislative session here. We've got another minute, and then we'll take a quick break. Another national type of issue that's coming to the state. The House committee has okayed a proposal to expand the Attorney General's enforcement of a ban on minors' sex reassignment. So this is a proposal from Naples Republican Lauren Mello. The Attorney General, currently James Utmeyer, could investigate and bring civil actions against healthcare practitioners who go ahead and do sex reassignment prescriptions and procedures for patients under the age of 18, despite it being against the law. So those actions could seek damages, injunctive relief, and civil penalties up to $100,000 per violation, with any damages required to accrue to the benefit of the injured minor. So it makes it a felony for a healthcare practitioner to aid or abet another practitioner in violating the ban as well. So this is something that's been going on nationwide. The idea of that we minors are too young to know to understand the consequences. Let's put it that way. They're too young to understand the consequences that kind of surgery and chemical hormonal changes can do to their body long term. And so it needs to be banned. And so now the state of Florida is one of the more aggressive states in the country at trying to protect minors when it comes to these kinds of things. As Lauren Mello stated at one point in trying to promote this bill. Quote, in this state, if you're under the age of 16, you cannot get a tattoo, let alone bilateral mastectomies that I've been through. They're pretty permanent. We will continue to enforce the law with the highest level of law enforcement that is an electable position. So there you go. That's a little bit of your legislative update. I've got more legislative bills to let you know about. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andy McKay right here on News Radio 92.3. When we come back here, I do want to talk about the proposal to nationalize elections. What does this mean? And is it constitutional? And we'll talk about that coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
1 in 9 children in Escambia County are victims of child abuse. When trauma steals safety, healing needs space. The Healing Garden at Gulf Coast Kids House will offer that space. With sensory plants, music, water, and shelter, over 4,000 children and their caregivers will find peace. Leadership Pensacola invites you to give today and help plant the seeds of healing. To contribute, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you'd like to weigh in, text or call 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. So I've got a story I want to cover pertaining to nationalizing the elections. First, one more story I wanted to hit on when it came to legislative session. And it's another one that kind of deals a little bit with a national issue, and they're addressing it here locally, or at least in the state of Florida. A resolution supporting religious expression in public schools. So this, according to Chase Tremont, the House representative, this is it passed a committee 18-1. Says, now more than ever in America and Florida, we need faith. We need God in our schools. So what this one does is it allows, it calls for a constitutional amendment. So this would change our Florida Constitution that would add religious expression protections in public schools, shielding students from being penalized on assignments or other coursework based on expressing a religious viewpoint, including artwork produced in schools. Now, what this one would do is, because it would be a constitutional amendment, all this bill would do is put this on the ballot for you and me, the voters, to vote on. And of course, it would have to have 60% approval in order for it to pass. Part of this constitutional amendment would allow students to form religious clubs on campus as well. So it could be Students for Christ, you know, whatever it might be. So this would be it would treat religious expression the same under the law as secular viewpoints. I like this bill, and I like it partly because one is I do agree with this. I whenever I hear about prayer clubs getting banned at schools, kids getting in trouble because they drew a depiction of, you know, maybe the resurrection or something like this. Whenever I hear these kinds of stories, it bothers me. But one of the things I like about this as well is it puts it up to you and me, the voters, to vote on it on the ballot. So it puts it on the ballot. So even though I like this and I think, hey, yeah, we need to have freedom of expression when it comes to religious viewpoints and in public schools and everything, I like putting it on the ballot. Let's see what our neighbors think. Maybe I'm in the minority. So I do like this bill for that reason. All right. So one of the big national stories, I didn't get to cover it earlier this hour, but one of the big national stories going on right now is the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, possible kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie. And I honestly, it took me a couple of days. I wasn't really paying attention to it that much. I just kept seeing on the news channels and on the Nancy Guthrie, the disappearance of Nancy. Who in the world is Nancy Guthrie? I had no idea what was going on. Nancy Guthrie, what are you talking about? And then finally, it was just yesterday when I was like, well, I'm filling in for Andrew. I better figure out what this Nancy Guthrie story is about. Like, who is she and why is she important? And then I realized it's Savannah Guthrie's mother who has gone missing. And she is a co-anchor of the Today Show. I barely even know her name. Like, I don't watch those kinds of shows. I don't watch, you know, things like this. So I was not familiar with this at all. I still have to question why this is such a big national story. NBC News morning show anchors mom disappears when there's people all over the country who are constantly being kidnapped and disappear and things. It seems odd to me, but so instead I go a bigger national story to me is the Trump the call from Trump or proposal from Trump for Republicans to, quote, take over voting procedures, to, quote, nationalize the vote, nationalize the voting process. Now, the idea behind this, I get. This is one of these situations I talk about a lot with Congress in general, whereas they have good intentions, but with those good intentions, sometimes things go awry. This is a good intention. The intention is, there's a lot of problems with local elections, and we already know that Trump had a problem with the elections in 2020, you know, and so there's concerns that states aren't handling elections appropriately, constitutionally. They're not doing a proper review of elections, so we need to put it on the national level. I get that, but two problems with this. One, kind of a big one, is it's unconstitutional right now. In fact, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, Republican, basically stated, quote, that's not what the Constitution says about elections. He said this in an interview with MS Now's Stephanie Ruhle. It's just simple as that. He noted the U.S. Supreme Court limits states in some ways, such as by barring them from setting different rules for some issues, including term limits and things like that, but, quote, the Supreme Court did rule that, for example, Washington State can't set term limits on federal officials if Georgia doesn't. It has to be a uniform election law. But as far as time and place, manner of elections, that, under the Constitution, is a state activity. So I'm not for nationalizing it. End quote. Now, one part about this. We can nationalize it. Just have a constitutional amendment. Oh, that's all. Yeah. I'm all for changing stuff on the federal level. Just do it legally. Change the Constitution. Don't just unilaterally try to do it. Pensacola More News.